listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr.
Good evening
Vicky
and
Hunter.
Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 31st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Oh, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here. But I also want to inject, I hope you had a great birthday.
Ah, well, thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, I did. I did have a very nice birthday. Thank you for asking.
Yeah,
and
great.
As always, I am glad to have you here. I'm glad to have everybody joining us in the chat. We're celebrating my birthday kind of weekish here. It was a couple of days ago, but I'm happy that you're here celebrating with me on this fine Wednesday evening. And, of course, thanks to everybody that takes the time to catch up with us from the archives. We hear your feedback, and we really appreciate that you take the time to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. Now, tonight's topic, psychic experience or Mandela effect.
Well, let's just start this off with what Audra has shared in the chat, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get into it. She said she has a pair of earbuds, just a cheap pair, but they've been missing for nearly 2 weeks. Okay. It's scrolling, so I got to keep going back. And my son watches me looking between the car seats and under the seat. And she couldn't. Okay, I have to go back. I got to go back. Michael. So anyway, they went missing for a while, but her son watches me looking between the car seats and under the seat. Yesterday, I happened to look down, and there was one case with one earbud. I saw the other earbud on the floor under the seat was but too lazy to move the seat to reach it. Then I took the case, used the earbud that was in it, even debating which slot to put it in. Next time I opened it, both were inside. I literally felt dizzy seeing it. It was so weird. Now, this is exactly the kind of story I come across on the Mandela Effect and Glitches in the Matrix page on Facebook. And I find it fascinating, all the different kinds of experiences people have, and that prompted like tonight's show, right? And the topic of so many times I read experiences and I think, well, that's more of a psychic experience. But in this case, Audra, you have to believe, first we have to understand what's a glitch in the matrix. We have to believe that we live in a matrix and that we have, you know, we're kind of co-mingling or interacting with other dimensions of space-time. You know, mm-hmm. You have to kind of go with that theory before you understand or can glean to understand what it is, a glitch in the matrix. So it's like when things disappear or appear, or It's there, then it's not there, but then suddenly something appears. Like years ago, living on a little farm, I had been out for a walk, checking my horses in the morning, go back in the afternoon, there's a bright red apple in the middle of the field. No bruises, no anything. I don't live within a mile of anybody. How did it get there? I put it back, it's gone later, you could say it's animals. Okay. The old guy across the road, I heard a big explosion. Of course, I drove over right away, and he's in a frenzy, like kind of shock, because his telephone that he was actually on when this happened was burned up. There, something exploded in his garage. The whole electrical thing went. Checked on it, got a hold of his family. They came, taking care of him, went back later, and he says, I have to show you something. Things appeared in his yard that were not there before, and he had never owned.
Like little gnome figures?
No, like pieces of like plastic, like a broken fender piece, and you know, other kinds of tools that, you know, he didn't own. He said, I've never seen these before. Isn't that interesting? Now, he's also the one who had remembered seeing, you know, UAPs back in the 60s, and that was the first recorded crop circle in Canada where he lived. So it begs the conversation of how or what is happening. Now, I'll set that aside for a second. The Mandela effect is, it comes from when people believed Nelson Mandela died, and that's how it started years ago. But it's our memories and how we remember something. And it's, so you remember it one way or another way, and then like your reality changes, like from Berenstain Bears to Berenstain Bears. And I was raising kids at the time, and I clearly remember Berenstain. Of course, now they say that never happened. So that's when, you know, our memories and, excuse me, psychologists, you know, can say that's a pareidolia. You know, how we, it's like kind of our minds are playing tricks on us.
Right.
Well. And that it's just not true. Versus the other things, like which are psychic experiences, which are also intangible, except lots of people have those experiences, that we could, in some ways, chalk up to the quantum entanglement, or, and so on. So I have to differentiate what these things are. Audra has also added in the chat that she has these experiences frequently. Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate for a moment, because I have these experiences too, Audra. But a psychologist would say, you need counseling.
Or memory pills.
You know, it's maybe we're not focused. Maybe we're not being present. Maybe we're not,
you know,
Dr. You know that, Mike is saying at his age, we call it a senior mind. Yeah, you know, for sure.
It's funny because I've always been rather absent-minded. I'll set things, because I'm always thinking about something and then I'm on autopilot doing things in the background. I'll set things down. I'll put this there. And then I just forget. And, you know, that's the kind of the blessing there, where I have, you know, something could be moving it. A ghost could be moving it and taking it, stealing it, an entity. Like, I'm pretty sure aliens are stealing money out of my bank account. I'm pretty sure that's the thing that's happening because it just keeps going down. But, it's the same thing like where, you know, I have no idea if anything paranormal is happening because I have no idea what's going on anyway. Just like, if, you know, ghosts are making noise in my house, I wouldn't know it because I'm going to blame it on any one of the various things that are running around. But, I think it is a fascinating thing, you know?
It is fascinating. Audra's just added, she has this happening all the time, but she said she can doubt herself, but this time her son was there too.
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
that's where you have two people sharing a memory, and then the reality changes. Now, how do you then explain that? And I've read a lot of these stories, again, on this Facebook page where, you know, I doubt myself, but this time so-and-so was with me. Did you see that? You know, and so on. I think what's equally fascinating when it comes to these glitches in the Matrix is, like, there's one story that was recently put up. A fellow went to his usual hardware store. Been going to this hardware store for years. and it's closed down. And he said, oh, but he had heard somewhere that they were building a new one about 3 miles away, which he's kind of upset about because it's a longer drive for him. But okay, it's closed down. But then 2 days later, or a couple of days later, he's driving down the street and he sees that hardware store open again. Like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. And I have had things like that happen to me, Michael. Something was there and then it's not there. And even on a smaller scale, there's a car behind me. I'm looking in my rearview mirror. Look ahead. Look in the mirror. It's gone. There's no time in a blink for the guy to turn. It just vanished. And actually, that's not just one time. It's many times. Or a car in front of me. You know, you barely blink and it's gone. It didn't turn off. There was no time for it to turn off. Like, what's that?
Well, the car. You know, for a lot of these, I'm thinking, you know, my thought, if I would be going more towards a like entity, like a ghost or something, taking something and putting it back, like the earbuds or something like that, or like an entity kind of just zipping it out or putting it back in. But a car, that's hard to do. That's a little harder to do than making an earbud appear and disappear, like, you know, from a different reality. A car is a big thing. But
yeah, I mean, it's there and then it's not there. And really odd thing happened just about 3 days ago. I'm at the grocery store in the parking lot, and I see the ugliest car I've ever seen. Salmon-colored. I don't even know what the make and model of this car was. I just thought, that is some kind of car. The first time I've seen that kind of car. And I have to stress that. Because I get in my car, I'm driving 3 blocks down, I see the exact same car. And I go, oh, that's just wild. And because I'm in traffic, I'm not going to go back and see if that other car is still in the parking lot. But it couldn't have got there that fast. Well, what are the odds of these two salmon color, when I tell you salmon color cars, it was this weird make and model. It's, I don't know. Is that a coincidence? I don't know, but I've kind of kept an eye out for it since then, and could have been a tourist coming through, but I don't know how two cars are the same. The car got there from there to there that fast. I don't know. That was just it was just something I noted in my brain. So okay.
Well, I mean, that kind of stuff I think happens to a lot of us, right? Or these just little weird things you can't explain pop up. You know, and it's just, frankly, we don't know. Anything is possible, and, you know, we're exploring different ideas. It doesn't mean that we're endorsing any particular idea, us or the school. But I will say that, dang, when weird things like that happens, I mean, transitioning universes is just as good as any other explanation, honestly. And when we think about living in what could be a multiverse and how so many of our universes are almost completely identical except for one small change, we don't know. We don't know so much. And when we don't know so much, and Dr. Vicky, you were saying this before the broadcast, we just don't know. There's so much we don't know. So we're forced to kind of, you know, extrapolate from what we do know. But again, I think be open to ideas, but when you don't know, when you don't have a firm basis, in fact, keep your mind open still. You know, hey, this is a possibility. This is an interesting idea. What if this was the case? But, you know, I always like to try and keep my mind open if the truth presents itself.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Audra just said she likes the one about the Fruit of the Loom cornucopia. And I just saw somebody online actually found copies of with and without the cornucopia. So Wendy's just said she, a couple of years ago, found an original Dr. Seuss and Berenstain Bears books at a thrift store and thought, for sure I had them. I had proof it was the Berenstain Bears. I took them home and put them in my office just a couple of weeks ago, moving books around, and saw the book now says Berenstain Bears. After being mad for a while, I realized if I did jump universes, well, then, yeah, the physical book I now have is going to be from whatever universe I'm in.
That's, you know, I will say the Fruit of the Loom cornucopia, that's probably one of my, you know, originals. Monopoly guy with the monocle. Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't one of the Monopoly cards have like a big, you know, kind of guy with a monocle on it? I don't remember. It's hard.
That's what I mean. And those are the Mandela effect experiences.
Sure. You know, I'm Sex in the City, Sex and the City. You know, I've even seen pictures of Sex in the – I've never actually watched the show, but I've seen pictures of Sex in the City merchandise. And I wonder how much of this can be attributed to knockoff merchandise. But
sure.
You know, and one thing that Dr. Vicky and I were talking about is, you know, well, one thing I was saying is human memory is a very fallible thing, which we've already touched on. And I think what we experience is somewhat of the Mandela effect. If you're going to look at probability, it's probably a little bit of everything, right? Probably some examples of kind of cultural trends and people kind of forming memories based on what we're reading online and things like that. I think some really good examples like that book, like the earbud, like the car, the pink, the salmon car, things like that are just odd and you can't really easily explain them away. And I think it's a little bit of everything, right? Life is complicated. There is no simple answer. Even if that simple answer is incredibly complex, there's never just one thing. There's never one cause for anything.
But I think it's comforting to know I'm not the only one losing my mind.
Oh, no, we're definitely all losing our mind. I think, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, again, versus, and I want to bring this in because versus what's a psychic experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a thought and suddenly it appears, you know, or you think about somebody and they phone. Those are not glitches in a matrix. Those are intuitive kinds of, you know, impressions, if you will. So I know there's people in this group, again on Facebook, but I don't mean to keep promoting that group. I just find it so fascinating to read these stories.
Mm-hmm.
I read this and I say, no, I can explain that as something intuitive or a quantum entanglement, you know, where, or, you know, you were just not present. Or, and, you know, there's people who do ask questions and make fun of them. Yeah, are you sure? You know, if you were out drinking kind of thing. And so there's kind of I don't think we should mock people for what they experience at all. I'm just saying that there's some things that can be explained in another way. But again, if you don't believe in psychic abilities or intuitive abilities, it's all going to be a wash to you. So, you know, it's kind of there. It's whatever you're tuned into, mm-hmm. and whatever you're thinking about. So are there UFOs? It depends who you talk to, mm-hmm. you know. And so we all live in our own kind of reality. I happen to go with there's some kind of shift in our realities. And I think I've said this before. There was a time when each of us would be in a kind of an environment where we'd have a shared reality. And we're not in a shared reality anymore. We're in this, you know, kind of mishmash of how do you project sociology or, you know, a demographic projection for your sales department, because it's all over the place. Hmm. It's kind of a hit and miss or hit and win because you don't know. And what are people going to want this? I mean, who can predict people buying toilet paper, Michael? I mean, it was just the most bizarre thing. Onset of COVID and people buying toilet paper.
The only thing you figure is that people that thought that it was actually going to be, you know, a massive plague and that, you know, society was going to crumble and like, well, if we're going to go to the dark ages, I want to be able to, you know, comfortably do things for at least a year or two.
I know. It's like, what is that? Dr. Edward is mentioning what he believes was coined by someone named Bert Goldman, the quantum jumping. And, you know, there has been, this is what I find interesting too, in previous television shows, like, you know, quantum jumping.
Sliders.
Talk Star Trek for a minute too, if you want. Michael, you love that one. How is it that these things at that time that we thought were so out there now have become more of an alternate way of thinking because, mm-hmm. I mean, who would know that you could just tap something on your, you know, a little button on your chest and talk to somebody? Excuse me, Captain, come in, Captain.
Right.
Oh, yes. And how would you know that's possible? And suddenly we do have things like that.
I've always had a philosophy that what we consider entertainment fills a very important evolutionary role practical role instead for humanity as an animal species because, fiction helps us deal with scenarios and things that haven't happened directly to us, every genre. And I think science fiction is something that it prepares us for the world that we might exist in, you know. When we never had stories about aliens as what we would call them, until space travel became a real possibility. You know, all these different things, the gadgets in Star Trek that were never conceived of, until society got to that point, you of course start with Jules Verne and things like that when you have the Industrial Revolution going hot and heavy for a century. These things prepare us for the world that we're going to experience in the next few decades. And I think that in Star Trek, I think in a lot of ways we were going that way because it was just taking a radio and miniaturizing it. You know, we see old World War II film of them with the radios, you know, hooked to the big the backpacks, the carry around. So it was a thing. You know, all of these things have been things. They're just better, miniaturized.
Yeah.
Although,
go ahead.
I was going to say the one interesting thing is a total creation by Star Trek for budgetary purposes of transportation. Although I think they've had teleport. But anyway, that's led to a whole new series of investigations about actually teleporting light particles. It's all very fascinating stuff. But
yeah,
I think sci-fi has given us great examples for what we're talking about. Yeah. You know, Quantum Leap is a great example, too. Thanks, Sandra. Yeah. Sliders, what we talked about earlier, going between different multiverse dimensions. That episode of Star Trek I was going on about before we started, where Worf's coming back from a tournament, hits some subspace patch or something like that, and begins transitioning universes in the multiverse. Everything's a little different. His birthday cake goes from chocolate to vanilla, etc. Mm. Great examples that you see in fiction.
Yep. So it's kind of like, where does that come from? Another one that's, I've been watching, looking at these memes about The Simpsons. I never watched The Simpsons.
Mm,
I
know we all forgive you for that, but go on.
there's now one about where there was a prediction of, what's the girl's name?
Lisa.
Becomes the president of the United States. And the pictures are alarming about how she's wearing the same kind of outfit as Kamala Harris.
I think the even eerier thing is in that episode, they joke about how she's taking over for President Trump, who left the nation's budget in ramble. But I mean, it's just like, okay. It's a little bit of cultural commentary come to life.
So Dr. Mike has said, quantum jumping is best approached with an open mind, considering it as a tool for self-reflection and personal growth rather than a literal exploration of parallel universes. And so Audra's asking, Dr. Mike, are you saying more like a way to reflect on different aspects of yourself and your life rather than actually becoming a part of a different life? And, you know, that's a good question, because it depends who you are, what reality you have, that would give an explanation.
Well,
you know, or what kinds of questions you're going to ask. You know, because not everybody will ask the same questions. And so could it be the different aspects of yourself? And, Dr. Mike is answering you, Audra, yes. So, you know, I look back at my childhood and I can remember things from a different point of view or a different kind of view of it and the reflection of life. However, it's everything that we remember. You've got different kinds of memories going on. There's emotional memory, there's cellular memory, there's psychological memory, there's trauma memory as well. Mm-hmm. And so you get old enough, you start looking back at things a little differently because you work through a lot of stuff and say, oh, there could be a reason for that, or there could be a reason for that, that a child mind kind of processes differently. So now we see it in a different way. I think what we're talking about more are things that are very set in our mind, that repeated and repeated and repeated as young, when we're younger, and then suddenly one day somebody's saying, oh, that's not true.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you mean that's not true? Oh, well, it never looked like that. Now, I talk to my kids. They have a different take on their childhood than I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair enough, because I'm the parent. They're the kid. This was going on. I say, well, and we've had these discussions. I said, well, that really isn't what happened. Well, I like my memory best. Okay.
Well, of course.
So it's all subjective, and for very many reasons. The thing is, if you're in the here and now, and you're an explorer, and a mind explorer, a metaphysical explorer, we do tend to notice things a little more, or notice oddities, or more extreme kinds of things. And we're processing that. And again, we're going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. We don't know what that is.
Right. And it's unverifiable. You know, all of this is. We can't prove it, you know, one way or the other, although, you know, because it's about the experience of a mind, a consciousness, a soul. And, it's just one of those things. Now, you know, gun to my head, yeah, I'm going to tend to probably think it's a memory thing, or it's this or that, or it's something, or, you know, the time frame between the salmon cars wasn't quite what you thought. But, you know, I can't say that for sure for somebody else. And that's only because, you know, when I don't know and I think an idea is interesting but I have no firm basis, I'm going to fall back to, it's fun, but I can't prove it, so I'm just going to move on. But, you know, I will say it's always been, for going back a long ways, my dad and I always have a joke where if something isn't the way we thought of, we just said, oh, well, must have changed universes, or it wasn't like that in the last universe or something like that. And, you know, mention it and we move on.
Yeah, maybe you were actually saying something that could be true even though you thought it was funny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, absolutely right. No doubt.
You know, I've often thought these things. Of course, I've always been the odd woman out in a lot of ways, because I started studying metaphysics when I was a girl. And I think you all remember this. I've told you before, and the newcomers. Well, I was getting witchcraft books when I was 9, tucking them under my mattress. You know, by the time I'm 14 and 16, I'm fascinated with anything that is otherworldly, having so many different psychic experiences myself. And the world didn't seem quite right to me. Like, I always felt like this wasn't the reality that was the reality. Now, psychologists would say, well, that's from childhood trauma. Okay, fair enough. But how did this, and this happen? They said, well, I don't know. Maybe you're not remembering it right. Okay. You know? All right, then. And so there's this whole questioning of your sanity and who you are. So I just stuck to it and seeing life through my own lens. And I've seen some pretty weird stuff. There was a day back in the 90s, I'd been driving, when I was living back in Edmonton in Alberta, I was driving up and over this hill, and I kind of had to stop, and I pulled over, and I looked up in the sky, and I really could see these grid lines. And this is long before The Matrix came out, and I thought, well, that's just weird. And it's like these grid lines in the sky, like crisscrossing, and stuff, and it lasted about 10 seconds. And I blinked, and it was gone, and I went, that's the wildest thing I've ever seen. And it was that some kind of impression. Did I make it up? It just came out of nowhere. It wasn't something I was looking for. At that time, I hadn't even thought about, you know, alternate dimensions in that way, or glitches in the matrix.
Right.
I hadn't even heard of the word matrix. So I thought, well, is there this energetic grid line? So after a while, I, you know, a few years of remembering that so clearly and thinking that we're all kind of connected by these energy forces. And I always see them as kind of threads, you know, in that quantum entanglement, so to speak. And maybe what I was seeing was the threads, these dimensional threads. And again,
yeah.
You know, somebody might have fun with my psychology on that, but that's what I saw.
You know, it's interesting you talked about that. We're going to get back into pop culture, and I apologize, and, you know, beg forgiveness of any copyright lawyers or anything like that. But have you, you know, if you haven't, there's a show called Loki. It is based on the Marvel superhero universe. It's on Disney Plus.
Yep.
In season two, they deal with, you know, multiverses even more heavily. And strings of reality in a very kind of literal, metaphysical, metaphorical, all rolled into one kind of sense really come into play. Yet another pop culture adaptation of what you were talking about there. And as I listen to you, you know, I think more and more about how, you know, like Wendy in chat pointed out, I don't think anything can be ruled out just because we do not experience it for ourselves. Yeah, absolutely. I can't rule it out. And I think, you know, about also what your perspective in life and how important that is, because I'm listening to you explain kind of your upbringing and how you perceive things. But like that Star Trek episode with the multiversal Worf, you know, that came out in the, for that one was probably the early 90s. I would have been a small child, so for my conscious waking life, those kind of things have always been ideas. I've never lived in a world where the multiverse wasn't a possibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My father is somebody who's always been very interested in the paranormal and all these interesting things. When I was a teenager, my rebellion was, in fact, going the other way. You know, I rebelled by thinking, well, you know, maybe things are just this, that, and the other. Of course, I've come around from that from when I was a teenager, but, you know, that's it's all about that perspective, right? Because for me, that was rebelling. But I also... I think the perspective, and as we are as individuals, as our conscious mind, it's about making the world right with us, you know, trying to figure it out, each of us in our own way, and there's really no wrong way to do that.
Well, my late hypnosis teacher, back when I was in my very early 20s, put a mug on the table, and he said, "What do you see?" I said, "A mug." He said, "No, what do you see? And describe it." I said, "Well, there's a mug with a handle on the right side." He said, "But I see a mug with the handle on the left side."
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned it, and he said, "What do you see?" "I see a mug." "Well, do you see a handle?" "No." Well, he turned it around. "So what do you see?" "I see a mug and a projection, a projectile that looks like it could be a handle." He said, "That's the point." He said, "Really, it's a vessel."
Mm-hmm.
"And you're seeing it." And so he backed up and he said, "You're seeing it as a mug because you know it as a mug. Other people just think of it as a cup or a vessel, or they call it by some other name. It doesn't change the fact that it is something, but we're all looking at that something from a different point of view." It was one of the biggest lessons that he taught me at a very young age, you know, about how we see things, and never dismiss how people see it. It's their truth and their reality. You know, it doesn't mean there isn't more, because there is more, always, but it's the way you've been indoctrinated and the way you're seeing something, and that's your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge lesson. And so I guess that's where using something as... you know, the mug, it being a tangible object, to say, you know, that's an object and we're all looking at it differently. So,
a wonderful example.
Dr. Kev is asking, did you experience parental judgment when you were a child, or did you conceal your experiences? Were you supported or encouraged to develop your talents? Oh, I've talked about that in the past too, Kevin. Oh no, my mother was, she told me I was possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I was about 16 years old and I made a prediction. I just came out of the blue, you know, talking about my youngest sister. Well, she was about 5 years old at the time. And I said, "No, she's going to get some celebrity in her life and she's going to be very musical." She said, "How would you know that? You're possessed by the devil just like your great-grandmother."
Well, runs in the family.
Oh, and apparently my great-grandmother was a teacup reader. And, you know, she was, yeah. But, you know, the funny thing about stuff like that, some of my biggest clients have been religious people.
Oh, sure.
And one of my repeating clients for like 20 years is a Lutheran minister.
You know, going back to the 1800s, especially, you know, you mentioned Lutheran. I don't know if he was Germanic or his family came from that, but even in the Americas and Europe, there was this huge fusion of Christianity and spiritualism. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, they don't cancel each other out when you're all inclusive like that. But,
you know, I want to say, Kevin, and you know, kind of to qualify what I'm talking about. The one thing I learned very quickly as a kid, and that's why I always thought, man, I'm not from here, where I had so many past life memories that came with me at the same time. But I learned to trust the voices in my head more than people. And I learned that very early. And I remember I was about 5 years old when I said to my parents, this is not the way you're supposed to behave. This is not how life is supposed to be anymore. And oh, yeah, I got punished for that, too, because I wasn't supposed to. You know, children, you'd be seen, not heard. But I knew very young, and don't ask me how I knew. I would study people and watch them. That doesn't mean I wasn't contaminated by all the environmental stuff I had to deprogram from later. It just means that I trusted the voices. Like, my imaginary friends never went away. I trusted them more than people because I saw people lie all the time, or their behavior did not match their words. And mm-hmm. that's been something that's been so important to me in my life, is learning how what I feel, what I think, and what I say are consistent. You know, to feel one thing and say something else. People can detect that. That's an energy, and you're only betraying yourself by doing that.
Well, that's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's I didn't want to betray myself and my own evolution that way. Now, that's as many people have said, I'm not necessarily for the faint of heart, because you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. I'm not going to skirt around it. Are you sure you want my opinion on this? Yeah. Well, I'm going to find the most delicate way possible. This is my take on it. And everybody goes, oh, so I don't know. You ask, I tell you. So, but don't ask me then.
Well, I would hope that we would all want such, you know, honesty or realism from the people in our lives.
It's really hard. I think lying steals minds. That's what I think. When we're so disconnected from who we are, and we're not living as truthfully as possible, mm-hmm. you steal minds. You steal a mind. It's like providing a false – when you provide false information, it's natural. We want to believe people. And okay. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. What do I know? But then if your actions show something else, or I find out it's different, then our – our relationship is really diminished, if not ceases to be at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, well, don't steal minds by being untruthful.
You know,
Dr. Mike has said, I trust very few people. I'm with you. And it's not like I wouldn't like to trust them. It's that everybody's living in their own reality.
Yeah.
And they do what suits them. It's privileged. It's entitled. I don't know what it is.
It's so that
small circle.
People, the biggest liars will lie to themselves before others. You know, and a lot of people that are lying in some fashion believe their own fiction.
That's true.
And I think, you know, that's also like Dr. Mike. I also trust very few people to be, you know, in certain ways. You know, I trust people to varying degrees, but I have a phrase that I've carried around with me, and I know we're getting short on time. I have a phrase I've carried around with me: most people are wrong about most things most of the time. And I verify everything. You know, I don't trust some things that people say just right off at face value, and I also don't trust my own beliefs at their own face value just because I want something to be true. Good reason for that. I grew up a very devout believer in a religion, surrounded by people who were devout believers in that religion and that faith, that this is reality, this is truth. And I believed it with every fiber of my being, and as did the people around me that were talking to me. And then I grew up and I realized that this is almost certainly not true.
Yeah.
And yet at one point I had believed them. They all believed each other. Are they lying to me or are they just wrong? And that's another big thing. So I don't think that everybody is ill-intended, but I do think people are mistaken a lot.
Yeah.
Myself included, maybe more so than others, I don't know. But that's why I'm trying to keep an open mind and realize just because I believe something doesn't make it true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And even in my doubts, just because I doubt in something doesn't make it true. And that's why I try to realize I can't tell you how many things I'm wrong about right now that I don't know yet. But anyway, I know there's so much.
The older you get, the different realities, and you look back, you say that just wasn't important. Yeah. But I sure put a lot of energy into it.
Right.
We are going to try and pull some cards. Yeah. We're going to run out of time here. So, folks, if you can bear with us, we'll try to get as many as possible. But you want cards drawn tonight? Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. We can belt it out here and just throw your names in. We're going to give it a minute while people catch up.
Yeah.
It's been a great discussion.
You know,
I absolutely loved
it. I have too.
One thing I've been thinking about is this, while we're waiting for names, this idea of a matrix, the simulation. You know, it's an interesting idea, but on the other hand, I hate it because it answers nothing. You're just kicking the can down the road because I want to know who created the people that created the simulation now. That's all. We got some names coming up. Dr. Jerry, right. So glad to have you with us again tonight. And let's get started. We're going to pull you an ICMH Inner Oracle card. For you, number 43, expediency. And we are going to be expedient with our cards tonight as well. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
You know, Jerry, I got the Eight of Spades. So I'm just going to say a caution here. Don't be too quick. So expediency with an Eight of Swords is just kind of think things through. And that's just something that's coming up or something you're doing right now, just asking you to push the pause button because you might be powerless or not have control if you push too fast, too hard. So that's just a caution, and that's all. I think if you can give something a little more time to think about it, let the other information come, you will know exactly when it is that you're to move forward. Kind of wait for that voice in your head to say, today's the day or now's the time. I do that too whenever I'm going to go somewhere. I wait till I hear the voice. Okay, you can go now. Okay. Otherwise, I'd have gone an hour earlier, and who knows? So trust that intuition. Now we have Dr. Kev next.
All right. For you, I have great card. It's wild card number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Okay, I got the Chariot. I love that. Well, things are a paradox, and you can see both sides. You have to keep moving forward. So, again, that follow that sensibility and that gut feeling. It's that the Chariot basically has a balance of both forces, which is interesting and paradox because, you know, there's a duality at work. So I think what it is something as you're going forward will also be discovered to be good in another way you didn't expect. That's my prediction. So follow your gut and keep going. All right. All right. Think we have Dr. Edward now. Yes.
When my watch hits the mic stand, it means that I'm being very supportive. All right, Dr. Edward, for you, I have yet another wild card. Wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude, behavior, or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Well, I got temperance. So entropy and temperance is managing your energy output right now, Edward, making sure that you're taking care of yourself, that there's a good support of what you're bringing in and what you're expending. Because I always see temperance as water, like going with the flow. It's got to flow. But again, stay in balance with yourself. So don't overextend your energy, your physical energy, or, you know, worry or stress. It's all going to be fine. It's just watch that energy flow. Stay intact. So that's just the reminder. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Good stuff.
Then we have Jeff next, I think.
All right. For you, I have number 5, law of control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Wow, I love this, the Fool. It's the first card in the tarot. New beginnings, new ideas. So this is a real go card, but with the law of control, make sure that you're managing only what you can manage. And what comes to mind is when you're going to be a manager, make sure you're also a good delegator, because you can't do it all. But you can delegate or share in the responsibilities or share in, you know, kind of what needs to be done. So don't take it all on yourself, but this is a really good card to move forward. It's actually really positive. So good. We have Audra.
Audra, by the way, thank you for your examples in chat tonight. We loved it.
Yep.
For you, I have number 25, power of belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, I got the 8 of clubs, which was interesting, that power of belief, 8 of clubs. And I really want to go with that focus, because I always see the 8 of clubs as something of action, of fast action, things going quicker, moving, and sometimes too fast. But in this case, the power of belief with the 8 of clubs is really believe it with all the fiber of your being. No doubts, Audra. Zero doubts. You know what you do. You know how good you are at it. You know who you are. Just keep going forward. So don't allow any little room for doubts. You know, this is a crazy world when we think a lot of people have power over us. And you know what? They do in a lot of ways. You don't pay your taxes. You know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so this is a moment where put all your focus into what you know, and you'll do great. So,
well just, said. Yeah. In my life, my dogs and cats have too much power over me. It's never going to change either. But
sure.
All right, we have Wendy, our card keeper herself, next. And always appreciate what you do. It's a wild card kind of night tonight. And Wendy, for you, I have wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Wow, you know, when you get that four of clubs, that four of wands, oh, that has everything to do with, you know, in literal terms, I always say that's the only marriage card in the whole deck. And what that can mean, though, is an agreement, a promise, a contract, something where one comes to the other. So I think what's happening here is not so much in a relationship way, but we know that you're in a business venture. It's like partnering, and that doesn't mean you have to co-own a business with somebody. It could mean you're aligning with someone, or you're developing kind of other colleagues and connecting with others. So that's where it's be really hopeful and put that out there in the universe that you're going to have these really good connections, you know, to it's like lining up with the companies or lining up with the representatives or, you know, that sort of thing. So it's very encouraging, Wendy. You got a lot of support coming your way. That's what I want to say.
I like to hear it. I love that message. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. And we have one last card for the evening, if I'm not mistaken. And according to our card keeper, Wendy, we have not had any repeats tonight. It's been a fresh card for everybody.
Wow.
So, Dr. Zorin, you are our last card, and let's see if you're going to break the mold here. I have for you number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Hmm. You know, this is odd to me. The first card I drew was the Queen of Swords. That's interesting. So I had to draw a second one. And it's the Three of Diamonds. So basically the Queen of Swords, the Three of Pentacles, evolution. I want to say there could be someone that you maybe don't care for very much, and it could very well be a female type of energy, something that you might find a little grating. But the sense here is that this is somebody who could be an advantage to you. So, you know, don't dismiss someone you don't like for the other possibilities. And I think it's not, I don't think this somebody is unlikable. I just think that, you know, it's just a mannerism or a behavior or something that you find kind of off, you know, and you just don't like it. But I think they're good inside. Their intentions are good. So give somebody a chance here. That's what I want to say, because it's beneficial to you.
All right. Good stuff.
I
think it is. I think that's all of our cards for the evening.
I have really enjoyed tonight, Michael. I enjoy every night, but I'm just saying.
Oh, it's been a good one. But we're just setting you up because next week we are going to have a fantastic broadcast. Yeah. We're having a guest join us again, Dr. Mike.
So I'm so excited.
Very excited. Now, Dr. Mike says that he has definitive evidence that actor Alan Tudyk, who plays the alien on Resident Alien, is in fact a real alien. So he's going to come with that evidence. We're going to talk about that. I'm kidding. Of course, we haven't.
We're going to talk about sharks.
We're going to talk about something. So
there's always something to talk about.
It is. And we could talk about anything. We could talk about the weather. And Dr. Mike, I'm going to have fun with that conversation. So looking forward to it again. You know, if you have any topic ideas, anything. I have a few in the chamber. I think, Dr. Vicky, you do too. But if you got anything, send it our way. Throw it in chat. Put it on Facebook. Shoot me an email. DrMichael@ICMHChurch.org. But, yeah, it is that time of the evening tonight. So as we kind of wrap up this amazing discussion, Any last thoughts that you got, aside from the obvious one, of course?
My favorite one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't let them push you around out there. You know, I just want to reinforce to everybody that, you know, as you're giving more attention to, you know, life and yourself and your evolution, you know, don't read more into things than there are, but also don't dismiss things. You know, why did a bird fly in your window? Because it just had a glare of light and flew in your window. You know, it's not a big universal message. And, I mean, maybe a bird needs rescuing and you find it, but I'm just saying don't read more into it, but also don't dismiss it. So it's a keep an open mind and always be willing to grow. So it's just, and people are people, don't let them push you around. Just stay true to yourself. Keep going.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, for my part, I'll just say, I love you guys. Thank you for being part of this community. Thank you for being part of this group, for joining us every Wednesday. I love the conversation. I love the jokes. I love the back and forth. Wendy, card keeper, love you for what you do. By the way, she caught a pattern. Dr. Zorin had that card that we pulled tonight on May 1st. So there you go. Wow. And thank you for pointing that out. So, guys, I can't wait to see you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.